God's perfect plan is to supply you with everything you could possibly need. Join Kenneth Copeland and David Barton today for a comparison of God's perfect will against the direction in which the world is headed. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. This is The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank You. We praise You, and we do everything that we can do to believe and receive Your Word. Oh, Lord, we want to be like Jesus, that we only say what we hear You say, and we only do what we see You do, for therein lies our absolute success in this earth and in heaven. And we praise You for it. Open the eyes of our understanding today. And we receive it, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Join with me again today in welcoming David Barton to this broadcast.
Hey,
David, I have to thank you today, man. I mean, you stirred me up again all this week. I never get in Your presence without the Lord begins to open things up in my thinking that and it just blesses me through and through. But then that's the way the anointing works. Mm-hmm. Jesus talked about it in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. And He started that by saying there are divine joinings and that He joins the body fitly together, but it's held together by what the joints supply. Mm-hmm. And it's when your anointing and my anointing come together and it produces an insight that neither one of us have just by ourselves. And then as that reveals truth to the body of Christ, then anybody that'll take that and walk in it, that same anointing comes into their lives.
That's right.
I mean, this.
That's right.
And this has just been rich, man, this week. I've really enjoyed it. Let's read again this from James chapter 1. Then I want to go over there to Matthew where Jesus was teaching from the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of Matthew. And He's teaching about the same thing. Well, after all, this is where James got it, right?
That's right. Yeah. From his brother.
Yeah. Now, in 1st chapter of James, he said this, "Receive with humility the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." Your will, your mind, your emotions, you put those together because your emotions and your will affect your mind. Mm-hmm. Your mind affects your soul and affects your emotions. And so you put those together. Now then, you have what it takes to change the environment because this allows your spirit man and the power that God put in there when you made Jesus the Lord of your life to begin to grow and manifest in God's covenant that He wanted in the beginning, which was the Garden of Eden. I mean, that's what He had planned.
Yeah.
So, then He said, you be a doer of the Word, not just a listener. You go through the Word receiving with humility the Word. I humble myself to the Word of God. If you said it, it's right. I don't care what I think about mm-hmm. it. This is going to change my thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to stay here and listen to this. I'm doing this because I'll act on this. When you get in that kind of attitude, it begins to change the way you see things, the way you hear things. And you begin to be disconnected from that world that's in trouble over into the kingdom of God, which doesn't have any recession in it.
Yeah.
Now, let's go over there to the book of Matthew. First of all, let's look at how He started this sermon in Matthew 5. Seeing the multitude, He went up into a mountain and He sat down, and His disciples came to Him. He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, now, here in the King James, it said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, He's talking about the blessing of Abraham. His disciples had only heard the law and its curse. They don't know how to live in the blessing of Abraham. He's teaching them this. Now, that poor in spirit is confusing to us in the way we think today because we don't talk like that. But it's talking about an humble spirit that says, I can't make my own way. Now, the contemporary English translation says, blessed are those who depend completely on God.
Yeah.
So that's what we've been talking about. Now, in that teaching, he said, no man can live in two worlds. You can't do it. You can't live in that Babylonian system out there that's doing everything it can to meet its own needs. Socialism of every kind, social justice, social everything, social this, social that, social everything. And live in the kingdom of God. But if you humble yourself to God and depend totally on Him, then the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. That means you have certain rights in that kingdom that they're trying to imitate over there in that other one, because human need is the same on both sides, particularly after the curse came into there.
Yeah.
Now then, he comes on down here and he said, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Now, he goes on down here and says, therefore, take no thought saying, what do we eat, what do we drink, and what do we, how do we clothe? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. So now you got two different kingdoms here. This one of them's on this side and one of them over on this side. We got delivered from the authority of that other one when we made Jesus the Lord of our life. Colossians chapter 1. Now, notice what he said. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. You seek first His kingdom and all these things will be added to you.
Yeah.
Now, what is it about that you don't understand? But here, I wrote in there, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things, parentheses, that's the reason He put them in the covenant.
Yeah.
He knows you have need of these things, now He's provided them for you.
Yeah.
Government, in trying to meet the needs of man, and you get away from the Word of God and get away from His way of doing things, they can't do it.
They can't do it.
And they make promises they can't fulfill because all of their money comes from the people that they're trying to supply.
Yep. Well, there's another principle that goes with this too, and that is that we enable them to do that. And I mean we as Christian people, particularly in America. 77% of Americans say, I am a Christian. That's what they call themselves. We can argue whether they are or not. I don't care. They call themselves that. So let's give them that. Jesus said, hey guys, everybody else is seeking for the economic stuff. They're seeking for clothing. They're seeking for house. They're seeking for economy. Where are they going to get that? He says, not you guys. You seek first righteousness and all this other stuff be added. Look at how many elections where Christians vote and economic issues are the number one thing on their voting list. They vote the way they do for candidates.
And they vote the wrong way every time they do it.
Anytime you seek economics, you will not get the right result. Only, we're told in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation. That's the same, Jesus said, seek first righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation. If you seek economics first, you'll lose economics and righteousness. If you seek righteousness first, you'll get righteousness and economics. He said, if you'll seek first my kingdom and righteousness, we're going to take care of your clothing, take care of your food. Your heavenly Father takes, look at the lilies, look at the birds of the air. That's going to come. You go after righteousness, and the fruit is all the stuff you need. If you go after the stuff you need, you won't get it, and you'll lose righteousness in the way. And so it's kind of a reverse of the two kingdoms. And we have too many people that vote that way. They vote their pocketbook rather than, you know, I know abortion's wrong. I know the way to protect a marriage, but I want to keep my job.
David, I noticed this, too. In fact, you and I have talked about this. And God will choose somebody and put His Spirit on them to lead.
Yeah.
And you'll have Christian leaders. I heard them with my own ears say, nah, we don't want him or her to have the nomination because they can't win.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, who told you they can't?
Let's be Samuel for a minute. We got Samuel. We got seven sons, seven sons of Jesse coming through.
Oh, yeah.
And even Samuel, the man of God, says, oh, it's not him. He can't whip.
And he picked exactly the wrong guy.
He goes after Eliab, and he not after David. And that's a spiritual leader doing the same thing that we still see today. Oh, he can't win. Here's the guy that looks like he can win. Now, if the Spirit's on David, you better go with David. Even if he's a 13-year-old ruddy-faced kid, you better go with him rather than Eliab, because you get out and face the Philistines, you face Goliath, and Eliab's saying, hey, everybody get out of here. David's saying, let's go get him.
You go out against those kind of forces without the knowledge of God, you're gonna get your backside kicked. Now, that's all there is to
it's
it.
It's simple.
It's just that simple.
And if you use human logic and you don't go after righteousness first, it's all going to be wrong. And even, you know, we've been talking this week about how that if you go after the Bible first and if you conform yourself to it, it'll shape your culture. And just as you were reading, I just passed a verse here. Let me go back to it real quick. Two things stood out to me in this verse about if we take the Bible and conform ourselves to it and then conform the culture around us to it. Here's one that stood out. It says, rebuke not an elder and treat him as a, this is 1 Timothy 5, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger sisters with all purity and honor widows that are widows. So he goes through and, you know, out of that verse is where we develop the whole system of manners. How we treat elderly people, how we treat ladies, how we treat young women, it's the whole system of manners. And I've been looking at that lately and thinking, you know, as we become more secular, we have less manners. We no longer respect women, open doors for them or pull out chairs. We no longer say yes, sir, or no, ma'am.
And the women changed.
The women have changed, too.
And when that happened, the fundamental morality of this country
changes.
Went in the ditch, man.
And it goes to something as simple as manners. The way I found a great quote from Samuel Adams, father of the American Revolution. He said he can predict the direction a nation's heading by looking at the manners of young people.
Yes.
How they treat adults, how they treat others. Yeah. And so if you got kids, if you got grandkids, you teach them to say thank you. And please, and no thank you. And you teach them to respect older folks, and you teach them to respect women. And I mean, that's a big deal of the Bible. And we don't do that in our culture anymore. We now have lawsuits if you do that. We have actually women saying, hey, I don't want to be treated different from anybody else. No, we want to respect you. We want to honor you. We want to elevate you. The thing I learned from Rabbi Daniel Lappin, good friend of mine, Jewish rabbi, Orthodox Jewish rabbi, great teacher of the Bible. He said, when you look at Genesis 1 through 3 and you see the creation of God, what God has created, he said, it always occurs in ascending order. It goes from the inanimate to the animate. It goes from the earth, the inanimate planet. Then you move up to plants and you move up to fish and you move up to birds and you move up to animals and you move up to man. Man is a whole lot higher than the planet. And so that helps us understand environmentalism, too. They make the planet higher than man, but man's higher. But what is the absolute last thing God created? It is woman. It wasn't man, it was woman. That's the highest thing on his hierarchy. The way you treat women is the best indication of how biblical a view you have. Now, you look at other nations, you look at Islam, see how they treat women. I don't think that's a biblical view. I mean, you look at secularists, look at France, how they treat women. Look in the Norwegian countries, how they treat women. The way you treat women is a reflection of how biblical your culture is. And now we're saying in America, oh, we don't want any manners shown like that. We don't want to treat women different. That's the last thing God created. It's significant. If our culture says, hey, we're not going to treat women different, you better conform to the scriptures, because it does say to treat women.
Well, the word says for a man to treat his wife as if, didn't say she was, as if she was a weaker vessel. Yeah. Treat her like she's fragile, man. I mean, you're sweet to her, good
That's
to
right.
her. You see to it she has everything she needs, everything she wants. And
that attitude.
Oh.
Not that they're, I mean, not that, I mean, we know women
are
fragile.
It'll produce heaven on earth
That's right.
in your marriage, man, because it puts things in its order in
That's
the
right.
sight of God.
And it's not that women are fragile. I mean, they have kids. That's pretty tough stuff, you know, having kids.
Whoa, they're stronger than
I mean, Cheryl's my adult supervision, and that's a tough job to be by adult supervision. I mean, they're not fragile, but when we treat them that
treat
way,
them that
when
way.
We have that
oh,
respect
yes.
for them, it is. And the other thing that stood out in this same passage, when you get to verse 3, it says, honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite, is what King James says, requite their parents. Requite means repay their
yes.
parents. That's an interesting thing, that we as children need to learn to repay our parents. And you think about that, how many years did your parents spend bringing you up?
Yeah.
A bunch. How many?
30.
Oh, yeah, there you go. 30. So yeah. For 30 years, they economically supported you. For 30 years, they provided your food, your sustenance, your need. For 30 years, they watched over and protected you.
And now, prayed night and day.
And prayed night and day.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to repay our parents. So if that means for the next 30 years, we have to take care of their sustenance and their needs, we have to give them economically. No, no, government does that. That's why we got welfare and Social Security. And, you know, not the hey, it says family. You children, take care of your parents.
That's what Jesus called a bunch of guys hypocrites over.
Yeah.
Because they excused themselves from the word by altering the word to fit their lifestyle. And Lord Jesus came down on them hard.
You don't change this to fit your lifestyle. And just because we're in America and say we got all these social nets, that doesn't mean you don't do what the Scripture says.
David, listen, let's get into that. This idea that government is welfare, well-being, being well, health care, and all of that governmental thing, the roots of that have always been part of the destruction of nations.
You bet they have. You bet they have.
And we need to look into that.
Let me just throw a stat out, because we're just to think about. God's word, you accept it as true. I guarantee you, when you accept it as truth, you will start finding that statistics prove it to be true time after time. I mean, you come up to these things where medically they say, oh, that's not right. Well, 50 years later, they find a medical study that says, yeah, actually, medicine is wrong and the Word of God is right. We've got that for 2,000 years, that statistics continue to prove the Bible right over science, over knowledge, over academics, over experts, over everything. This wins every time. Eventually, it always wins. When you look at what it says about welfare, it puts it in the hands of the church and the family. It does not put it in the hands of government. What we now know, a study done by Yale University, a study done by Notre Dame, they got together, did this study. They looked across at Europe's, at nations across Europe, across the world, and they found that in 33 consecutive nations, the more that welfare spending increases, the more that church attendance goes down. Direct correlation. You put more into welfare, you're taking God out of your country, because government becomes God. Mm-hmm. You look to government for all your needs. You no longer look to God. You don't need God anymore.
And the weaker your base becomes, because the humanity base in any country and among any people is the welfare,
the benevolence that we show to one another
of its people base.
That's
because
right.
You've got a whole lot of people here that need a whole lot of help. And if you don't teach them the Word of God where they can believe God and come out of here, you're going to wind up with a split society of super poor and super rich.
That's right.
And they'll kill one
another. You'll have classes instead of everybody
it
being an individual.
It just turns out like that.
It will. It will be class warfare, and that's not biblical. That comes from not following the Bible.
You know, back when... We need to get into this tomorrow, because this has got to be dealt with.
Yeah.
But right when President Grant, he had just become president, came out of the Civil War, and General Sherman, who had just burned down Atlanta, he had a massive army. Mm-hmm. They were talking about the Indian problem. And Sherman's solution was, my armies are still intact, turn me loose among that bunch, you ain't gonna have any more Indian problem. He's just gonna wipe them all out. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Grant couldn't live with that. He wasn't that kind of man. And he said, no, I'm not gonna do that. Well, here's plan B. Round them all up and put them in one spot and make them totally dependent on the government of the United States for everything, food, get them out of their hunting grounds, get them out of where they brought up, and were capable,
self-sufficient.
Yeah,
that's right.
And put them over here where they're dependent on us. And he said, two or three generations, you won't have any more problems. Well, it's been a whole lot more than two or three generations. Mm-hmm. That came to pass. And look at the devastation.
That's right.
In the American Indian.
That's right.
I tell you, it just tears at my life. But you go back and look at where the Word of God became powerful in their lives, and they broke out of there and began
That's right.
to prosper. So
That's right.
tomorrow we need to get into that. You just know this. You seek first the kingdom of God.
That's right.
You inquire of God's Word about everything. He'll see to it that all your needs are supplied according to His riches and glory. By Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Brother David, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Blessing of the Lord, were the people of Venezuela at the Victory Campaign. Fervent, eager, passionate, zealous, hungry were the hearts of the people. Open and willing to believe that the Word of God works. Strong manifestations of the blessing were evident beyond all expectations.
The healing power of Jesus is here. Your miracle is here.
Estos dolores que yo tenía aquí en la parte de la espalda era el de los riñones, porque a mí me habían detectado unos quistes en los riñones. Cuando llegué aquí, vine y yo le pedí a Jesús que me mandara esa sanación. Y aquí vengo, perfecto. Gracias a Dios.
Y entonces yo clamé y dije, gracias Señor, porque sé que me estás sanando. Sé que me estás bajando el azúcar. Porque era diabética.
Your arm and shoulder is healed now.
Y movía, no paraba de mover el brazo porque no podía creer que todo esto coincidía con lo que yo he sentido durante un año.
You are supposed to prosper. You're supposed to be healed. You're supposed to be delivered. Why? Because you're blessed.
Fully persuaded that the blessing of the Lord is God's plan for you.
Y lo que imparte el hermano Copeland es la vida, el espíritu de Dios, llenando nuestros espíritus de esa fortaleza y de esa fe.
Se acabó la pobreza, se acabó la enfermedad, se acabó la ruina, se acabó la derrota, se acabó la maldición en mi vida.
15,000 people attended the two-day Venezuela Victory Campaign. Over 250 people were won to the Lord. Over 400 pastors attended from all over the nation and surrounding countries like Peru, Colombia, Aruba, and Mexico. It was marvelous to see how the youth didn't have to think twice as the altar call was made, running to Jesus with eager hearts, embracing the truth that you don't have to live less than blessed.
Bless the nation. Bless the president. Bless everybody. Bless Venezuela. In the name of Jesus.
En el nombre del Señor Jesús.
I bless this nation.
Yo bendigo esta nación.
Every Friday is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, here's why. You've heard me say it over and over again, but the Lord commissioned me to do this years and years ago. This is the way that the Lord said to handle this. Let him that is taught in the Word respond to him that teaches all good things. Don't be deceived. And there's the key here. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Jesus said the whole kingdom of God is based on that principle. That's the way this kingdom works. Now, he that sows to his flesh, and he just got through listing the stuff the flesh produces, will reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Life, Zoe, the life of God. The very thing we've been talking about, manifesting in our midst. Now, when you hear word, Brother David and I, by the Holy Ghost, there's been revelation come into your life from these broadcasts all week long that has to do with the future understanding of what you heard. If you sow into that and believe God, you keep yourself from being deceived by the stuff that comes out of that other system. You may not have a clue how to live without debt or how to live in this kingdom. But when you receive it and you sow into it and you pray, Father, reveal to me what you would have me do concerning this offering, concerning these words that I have heard. I receive them and I change my lifestyle to fit this word. Reveal to me now how this works. That's just simply the way you do it. And that's our prayer with and for you. Praise God. Now listen, go to church this weekend. I'm telling you, get in where they're teaching and preaching the word of faith, praise God, and just continue to grow and be strong, praise God. And you don't miss next week. Brother David and I are going to continue right down these same lines. And I'll tell you right now, God's going to do something before it's over with. I guarantee you, you're going to like it. Amen. David, thank you, sir.
You better.
Looking forward to next
week.
Me too. Man, this is going to be exciting. So, until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, David Barton, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. The world around you is changing every day, but one thing remains the same, God's Word. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine is full of life-changing teaching that will help you and your family live in the fullness of God's blessing. Build your faith as you read Word-based teachings from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the real-life stories of believers from around the world. Request your free subscription today, The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine, words you can build your life upon.